Welcome to today's Walnut Wednesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
The United Farm Workers, UFW Foundation, and La Union del Pueblo Entero are calling on the Department of Labor and Occupational Safety and Health Administration to immediately address permanent rules on heat protection standards for outdoor workers. This comes after several recent heat-inflicted deaths of farm workers. Through the nature of their work, farm workers perform labor in dangerously high temperatures and are vulnerable to heat illnesses and death. The organizations are backing the reintroduction of a Heat Safety and Prevention Act after a farm worker was killed in 2004 while harvesting grapes. Ripple Foods, a leader in plant-based dairy, announced the newest addition to its portfolio of plant-based products. It's called Ripple Kids Unsweetened Original Milk. The new offering is an unsweetened version of its popular Kids Original Milk and features 8 grams of plant-based protein and 50 milligrams of DHA omega-3s and choline while having zero added sugars, according to the company. The product was developed in response to consumer desire for an unsweetened version of Ripple Kids plant-based milk, one of the most requested items by parents to the company. Since its launch in 2021, Ripple Kids Original Milk has experienced explosive growth and has been one of the fastest growing products across all retail channels in a refrigerated plant-based milk category over the past year. Ripple Kids Unsweetened Original comes in a 48-ounce bottle and is currently rolling out to Target stores nationwide as well as other retailers. The product sells for $5.49 to $6.49 and can be found in a dairy aisle. Ripple Foods is headquartered in Berkeley, California. U.S. Senator Alex Padilla, a Democrat of California and member of the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works, and U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown, a Democrat from Ohio, have introduced the Converting Our Waste Sustainability Act to reduce greenhouse gas emissions through sustainable alternative and pasture-based management practices. The House version of the bill was introduced by Representatives Jim Costa, a Democrat from California, David Valadeo, a Republican from California, and Shelley Pingree, a Democrat from Maine. As the top dairy state in the country and a second in cheese production, California is the largest producer of milk, butter, and cheeses like mozzarella, Monterey Jack, and queso fresco. Dairy operations contribute billions to California's economy, but are also responsible for 45% of California's methane emissions. Recognizing the urgency of mitigating greenhouse gas emissions like methane, California and the dairy industry are on track to reduce dairy methane emissions by 40% by the year 2030. The COWS Act establishes a new manure management conservation program modeled after California's extremely successful alternative manure management program that will provide more resources for the livestock industry to help achieve 3 goals. 1, modernize technologies for manure management that help boost profitability. 2, improve water quality. And 3, reduce methane and nitrogen oxide emissions by fostering climate-smart farming. The legislation also directs the U.S. Department of Agriculture to prioritize awards for underserved communities. The Santa Barbara County Agricultural Commissioner's Office released its 2022 Agricultural Crop Production Report recently. The annual report summarizes the acreage production and gross value of agriculture countywide. Agriculture remains Santa Barbara County's largest producing industry. The top crop in Santa Barbara County remains strawberries with a gross value of $810,923,000. That's an increase from last year's gross value of $10,347,000. The County Agricultural Commissioner's Office notes that the large increase in strawberry gross value is due to increases in acreage dedicated to the crop as well as improved yield. Cauliflower moved to the second most valuable crop at a gross value of $96,657,000, followed by wine grapes at a gross value of $96,334,000. The Santa Barbara County Agricultural Commissioner's Office says that demand has increased for vegetables since the pandemic and with the rise in popularity of cauliflower rice and other cauliflower products. The California Energy Commission has approved over $17 million to advance floating offshore wind research into environmental monitoring technologies to reduce impacts to wildlife as the state works to meet its goal of 25 gigawatt offshore wind capacity by the year 2045. The grant funds are from the Commission's recent electric program investment charge solicitation that is focused on advancing designs for floating offshore wind farms. The Commission did set a preliminary goal of up to 5 gigawatts of offshore wind by the year 2030. As millions of people in California, the Southwest, and across the country endure dangerously hot conditions, President Joe Biden has unveiled new measures to help Americans adapt to extreme temperatures. The administration has announced plans to ask federal regulators to step up enforcement of heat safety measures to better protect construction workers, farmers, and other laborers who are exposed to sweltering temperatures. His administration will also spend $159 million from his infrastructure law and his climate and drug pricing package to develop better weather forecasting and bolster water storage and climate resilience in California, Colorado, and Washington state. Just recently, a study found the extreme heat gripping North America, Europe, and Asia in July would have been virtually impossible without climate change and increased greenhouse gas emissions, that according to researchers at the World Weather Attribution. In his remarks, Biden pointed out to his Inflation Reduction Act, which included a $400 billion investment in clean energy subsidies, and the bipartisan infrastructure law, which includes billions in subsidies for electric vehicles, as proof of his commitment to tackling the underlying cause of extreme heat. Heat is already the number one cause of weather-related deaths in the world, with more than 600 people dying from heat-related illnesses every year, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The measures that Biden announced recently are only his latest to boost climate resilience and heat preparedness. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the agency charged with protecting workers, is drafting heat standards for workplaces, but the federal rulemaking process takes years to complete. Biden has launched other heat-related initiatives across the administration, including funneling cash through the Department of Health and Human Services program to help lower cooling costs for low-income households. The Department of Energy is helping states to modernize their electric grids, which would allow more Americans to keep their air conditioners running without triggering brownouts. And the Environmental Protection Agency has assisted communities in setting up designated spaces within schools so people without air conditioning can cool off.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a Human Touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Welcome back to another Walnut Wednesday episode. Today we're going to cover the top walnut-related articles for the month of August. First up is a piece on using Ethypon in walnuts this season by contributing writer Kristen Platts. As walnut growers struggle to survive another tough year in the market and look for ways to maximize crop value, the ethylene-based plant growth regulator Ethypon could be of use to some. Since recouping costs lost to a critically low walnut market won't be possible this year, garnering the highest quality nuts at harvest will be crucial. Platts spoke with Sacramento County Orchard System Advisor Catherine Jarvis Sheen for West Coast Nut Magazine, who hopes Ethypon can help assist some growers in that mission. While Jarvis Sheen says she knows growers won't break even this year, the benefits of using Ethypon could at least allow for the harvest to pay for itself by helping to provide a superior product. The value of using Ethypon this year could also come in the form of savings on labor costs for growers who find it more cost-effective to spread the harvest out on acreage with the aid of Ethypon. Ethypon can speed up hole cracking and harvest by 4 to 7 days depending on variety, season, and temperature conditions. And it can also garner lighter colored kernels, which could bring more value to a harvest. The factors affecting the decision to use Ethypon differ from orchard to orchard, but in any situation, it's vital the product is applied properly to enhance its potential. Another Walnut article comes from Western Agricultural Processors Association Director of Technical Services, Chris McLaughlin, who provides readers with information on a study addressing the combustibility of walnut dust in processing facilities. Explosions and fires at agricultural facilities have long been an issue for various commodity processing plants. McLaughlin poses the question of the fact that with most of the risk being held by various dry processing commodities, would it make sense to include the wet process of walnut hulling as a potential avenue to create combustible dust? According to the National Fire Prevention Association, or NFPA, walnut dust, and therefore hulling, is included in their stringent requirements. So how did this designation occur, McLaughlin asks? Unfortunately, many commodities experienced blanket applicability to the NFPA standard, as the process of hulling walnuts can generate smaller pieces of organic material and dust. Additionally, combustibility designations are made at the federal level by Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Association, or OSHA. Facilities that handle or generate potentially combustible materials must abide by NFPA Standard 654. With this designation, the basic requirements for facilities subject to the NFPA guidelines are that they must install expensive sprinkler systems costing anywhere between $100,000 and, in some cases, over $1 million within the building. Fire detection monitors are also required in and around equipment, and facilities must also employ approved vacuum systems to collect accumulated dust. One more Walnut article, again, comes from contributing writer Kristen Platts, who covers a recent UCCE Tree and Vine IPM meeting in Modesto in June, which presented growers with the results of recent walnut husk fly research on new monitoring, lure trials, and bait efficacy. Monitoring for pregnant females is the best way to control walnut husk fly, UC Berkeley entomologist and presenter Bob Van Steenwyck explained, noting the technique to determine if a female has eggs is by dissecting or squeezing on her abdomen. If she has eggs, then you need to treat. UC research being done to monitor walnut husk fly more efficiently has seen some recent promising results. There could even be a new pheromone lure available at some point soon for growers, according to Van Steenwyck. The new pheromone was published by a French researcher in 2000, and Van Steenwyck's group started work on the pheromone last year. The research group had very little information about how long the pheromone lasted, how much to put in the lure, or even what type of lure to use. Another focus for Van Steenwyck's team has been on bait efficacy for walnut husk fly and researching various methods to find the most economical yet effective bait for growers. He said as they were beginning to develop new baits several years ago, they discovered mixing a very small amount of GF120 Naturalite fruit fly bait, a nitrogen source, with molasses worked well to boost fly catch. They also realized using urea in the bait as a nitrogen source may also boost fly catch. Urea is commonly used by growers as a foliar nitrogen application. A study conducted last year on olive fruit in Napa showed a mixture of granulated white sugar, new lure, brant insect bait, and water worked quite well. Read these walnut articles and more in the August 2023 edition of West Coast Nut Magazine at WCNGG.com, as well as on the print version hitting mailboxes soon. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
The Biotechnology Innovation Organization says the next Farm Bill offers opportunities to invest in long-term food security, climate resiliency, and growing the national bioeconomy. The group has submitted recommendations to the agriculture committees in both chambers of Congress as they work on writing the new legislation. A Farm Bill centered on innovation stands to incentivize the adoption of cutting-edge technologies and practices, resulting in benefits to the environment and rural economies. That, according to Beth Elikidis, Bio's Vice President of Agriculture and environment. Among their recommendations, they say they liked increased funding for the bio-based markets or bio-preferred program, which directs federal agencies to increase their bio-based and renewable products purchases. They'd also like to see Congress increase funding and make administrative improvements to the federal program to help bid or retrofit facilities to produce advanced biofuels, renewable chemicals, and other bio-based products. Among several other recommendations, Bio wants streamlined regulations for biotechnologies. Colorado Congresswoman Yadira Caravio has introduced a bill that would help family farmers fight drought. The Voluntary Groundwater Conservation Act would give farmers the flexibility they need to protect groundwater sources while also keeping agricultural lands in production under a new voluntary groundwater easement program. The legislation comes as aquifers in the western U.S., a crucial source of water for rural communities and farmers, are in decline. The bill creates a new groundwater conservation easement program at USDA to encourage voluntary compensated reductions in groundwater consumption on agricultural land and advance local, regional, or state groundwater management goals. Additionally, it will guarantee long-term management flexibility for a producer to continue farming and choose how they reduce water use as long as they conserve the amount they've committed to reducing. Producers would also get paid based on the market value for the water right instead of per acre. USDA has just come out with its first forecast for 2024 retail food prices. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
Food prices in general this year are expected to top last year by about 5 or 6%, but what about 2024?
We are looking at food prices returning towards their historical normal growth rates of around 2%.
And USDA economist Matt McLaughlin says grocery store food prices may go up only about 1% in 24. But he also says don't dare carve any of those numbers in stone. Those are midpoints in a wide range of possible scenarios. He says the forecast model for grocery store food prices does have 1% as the midpoint, but it has prices possibly falling as much as 6.8%, going up all the way to increasing by over 9%. So forecasters wisely giving themselves a lot of wiggle room because
there could be a set of unforeseen events between here and the end of 2024.
We don't even know how 23 is going to turn out, let alone 24. It's sort of like predicting this week who's going to win the Super Bowl before training camp's even over. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Ukraine and Russia's targeting of each other's Black Sea shipping traffic could again drive up not just grain but fertilizer prices. Russia's targeting of the Black Sea commercial shipping traffic for Ukraine after pulling out of the Black Sea grain deal and Ukraine's threat to reciprocate against Russia's ships had threatened more than grain. Russia is the world's top fertilizer export, and its invasion of Ukraine last year aggravated already tight supplies, driving fertilizer prices to all-time highs in March. American Farm Bureau Federation Senior Director of Government Affairs Dave Samuelson says the latest developments only revive a bad situation.
I think maritime insurers are not going to be extending very favorable rates for anybody wanting to sail the Black Sea. So that will certainly at some point have an impact, you would think, on fertilizer.
Global fertilizer prices rose 30% by early 2022 on the heels of an 80% hike in 2021 before easing this year, according to the World Bank. Separately, renewed grain shortages could boost not just prices U.S. producers get, but demand for U.S. food donations depending on supplies on hand in needy countries.
How much ahead of time they stockpiled? They were able to, how much reserves they have. But again, if this is a real disruption that really shorts supply and shorts their opportunity to import, there may be certainly more demands for food assistance from the U.S. and from other countries.
That puts pressure on the U.S. Food for Peace program and the depleted Bill Emerson Humanitarian Trust.
Agroplante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. Agroplante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. Agroplante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. Agroplante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.